Have your Bibles with me. With you, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. When you find your place there, if you'll stand with me, out of the respect of reading of God's word, Philippians chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in the of Philippi. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. I want to preach you tonight this message entitled "Pressing Toward the Mark." Pressing toward the mark. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. God, I thank you for this place. Lord, you know this place. You know every heart in this place. You know exactly, Lord, what each and every one of us need from your word. God, I pray that you'll just help each and every one of us this evening to open our hearts to let you speak to us of how you see fit. Lord, I pray you'll help us to show us exactly what we need to change in our lives to be more conformed into your image. God, I pray you'll help us tonight as we listen to your word, as we read it, Lord, I pray you'll change lives, Lord, that will come be conformed to your word. Lord, I pray you help us tonight. Speak through me, Lord. Help me to say exactly what you have me to say and nothing more. Thank you for everything you've done. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Over the last couple of years, I've been working, or not necessarily working, but I've been trying to do more physical activity, and that's something I've been trying to do. And all through high school, I was in sports and did those things and was very active. And I'm going to try, for the sound man's sake, to be closer to the pulpit and not go as far. So no promises, okay? But we'll see what happens. But all through high school, I was in sports, and I was very competitive, and some would say I'm too competitive, but that's just kind of the way that I am. And so over the last couple of years, I've been doing these races that I've been a part of. One's called the Tough Mudder, and the other one's called the Spartan Race. And they're all over the country. A couple of them are all over the world, and I've traveled to a few places to do these. And really the idea of these races is more of the camaraderie of the team and of a group coming together and each one, because there's obstacles within the race. And we're actually going to be, my home church, we're going to be doing one together, about 13 of us that are going to be doing this race together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just it's the camaraderie that you get when you're running through this race trying to accomplish some of these obstacles. You got to help each other to get through them, because there's some things you just can't do by yourself. So it's going to be an interesting thing. But what the idea is, you're running this race to achieve a goal, right? So my personal goal is to be able to accomplish every obstacle in the race. Some of them are very physical, some of them are just more mental. And so my goal is to be able to get through each obstacle to accomplish each race. That's just my personal goal, what I'm trying to accomplish, and then be able to have the endurance to be able to run a 9 or a 13-mile race. Mile, not kilometers. I don't know. I do the math in my head. I forgot where I was at for a second. But that's my goal. So I'm going to accomplish. So my goal, honestly, to finish the race, that's my ultimate goal, but to do it well. I don't just want to go and be like, yeah, I ran a race and I barely survived, and you know, I didn't complete any of the obstacles, and there was a lot of things that I had to go around because I couldn't do it, and because I just couldn't do it, so I had to, all of these things. My goal is to accomplish the race, right, and finish the race, but at the same time, I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities. And knowing that the race is coming, I should be able to be prepared for the race. In our passage, we find we see a similar type of situation where the Apostle Paul is saying, "Hey, we are in a race, and it's not in this particular spot, but we are in a race for our lives. We are in a race this is a race. The life that we're living for Christ is not something that you're just going to kind of jump in and jump out. It's a consistent thing that we have to go through. What I want us to look at this morning in the passage of Philippians, I want us to look at the race that we're running, but how we're running it and what are we running towards. Right, so the race that I ran, and I'm another one coming up in a few months that I'll be doing, and my goal is to get to the finish line. But to get to the finish line, looking back at what I just accomplished and what I just did, looking back at that and looking at it and saying, I did it well. That's what the race is. That's what my goal is. Verse number 4, we find that the Apostle Paul is saying, though I might have confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul is probably one of the most, I would say, qualified people in Hebrew. If you look through, he gives you his description. He was very confident. And you can see in verses number 5 and 6, he gives somewhat of his accomplishments and his qualifications, if you will. Let's read them. Verse 5, it says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The Apostle Paul here is saying, he's like, listen, if you're going to be confident in the flesh, if you think that you're confident in the flesh, I am more confident than you are. I have a lot more of the qualifications than you do to be able to stand and judge the church and to be able to have, I'm keeping the law, I've gone through all of these things. He was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, if you will. He had every qualification necessary. You could say he had gone to every Bible college, every class. He had a 4.0 GPA. He was smartest guy in the class, the best of the best. And he says this, verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Those things that I look at and go, yeah, look what I accomplished. look at this shiny piece of paper that's got my name on it. It means absolutely nothing to Christ. What he had accomplished for so many years means absolutely nothing. He says, what I thought were to be gain, for Christ, it's loss. Sorry, I got to move just a little bit. Do you realize that you are nothing without Christ? The things that you think you have accomplished in this life, the things that you think that you're like, well, this church would be nothing without me. No, this church would be nothing without Christ. That's the bottom line. See, we are nothing without Christ. We make up the church. Christ builds the church. And without Christ, we are nothing. Therefore, the church is nothing. So get off your high horse, maybe get a smaller one, and the bottom line is Christ does not need you or I. We get to serve him. See, what the Apostle Paul says, you have confidence in the flesh, I have more. And what I have means nothing without Christ. See, the Apostle Paul says, no, I have all the things to be accomplished. He had gained so much in the eyes of the people. He had, to everybody around him, he was the best. To the people that he thought mattered, he was the best of the best. He was willing to do anything and everything he could to be the best. He was willing to persecute the church and to kill people. To be the best. That was the level that he went. And he says, all of those things that I thought were good, that I thought I was helping the church, that I thought I was helping the cause, it wasn't anything for Christ. Verse number 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He says, I know I lost everything. I know I am nothing. I have nothing. All of the accomplishments that I've lived my life for is absolutely nothing for Christ, or for without Christ. And that's fine. I've count them all but dung. A pile of feces is what he says. Are you willing to put all of your life's accomplishments that's for yourself into a pile of feces for Christ? You say, well, I have a lot of things that I've accomplished in my life. I've accomplished some things. I have a bachelor's degree from Heartland Baptist Bible College. Worked at a church. I've done things throughout the church for many, many, many years. Accomplished a lot of physical things. But to be honest with you, none of that matters. None of it matters if I'm not willing to lose it all for Christ. See, God said, the Apostle Paul says, what I've done in my life means absolutely nothing when I've done it in my own power and my own strength. See, the Apostle Paul knew that he was nothing without Christ, and all of the things that he had done, though they might have been with good intentions, they might have been right in his eyes, without God, they were nothing. See, he had influenced people. He had all of the Pharisees around him convinced that he was the best. But he recognized that what was lacking, what was missing, was God. See, in verse number 9, we see that Verse number 9 says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You don't get the righteousness of God without having the faith that you need in God. See, it's more than just saying, yes, I'm going to live for God. Okay, well, that's great. It's a good ambition. What are you basing it on? Because if it's anything other than this book, it's not right. If it's anything other than in Christ Jesus, if it's on your own intellect, it's not going to be of God. Verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." He says, I need to know who Christ is. And in order to know him, I have to have a relationship with him. In order to know who he is, in order to know his righteousness, I have to be found in him. You see, to know the power that Christ has, you have to first know who he is. And you have to be found in him. See, if you aren't found in Christ, then there's no way that you can be a part of the family of God. The Apostle Paul says, listen, if you want to have this, you have to first be found in him, and then you have to know him. See, there's a difference of knowing someone and knowing someone. See, I can know who God is, but I don't have an intimate relationship with him. I don't know who he is. Intimacy is more than just the physical aspect. Intimacy is closeness, is oneness. See, when you have an intimate relationship with God, you know who he is, and he knows you. And it's unlike any other. Verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." See, he wants you to understand. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not saying all of these things because I have it all figured out. I'm not saying all of these things because I'm perfect. He's saying these things because he is attempting to be. He wants to reach that perfect state. By the way, if you ever reach that, I'll see you in heaven. Because that's where you're at. Because this side of heaven, we're never going to be perfect. But we should always strive to be conformed into the image of Christ, our perfect example. And when we're doing that, you find all of these little petty things that we come up with that we fight with one another about, and you have all of these things that come up, and it's like I'm fighting over this thing whenever I'm fighting with an imperfect human, and I'm also imperfect, but we're butting heads over things that aren't perfect. But if we were striving for Christ, the perfect example, we could be like joyful. And you could be happy because this book does not equal sadness. What this book equals is hope, joy, love, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. See that? When you have the relationship of Christ, with Christ, and you're pressing toward the mark of the high calling. We're almost there. Verse number 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He says, listen, I know I'm not perfect, but this is one thing that I am going to stand on. This is what I do. Look at this. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I don't know about you, but I've had some bad things happen in my life. People hurt me. People said things about me. People have done things towards me. The bottom line is, if I were to dwell on those, we just heard it this morning about the two boys plowing, digging a straight trench in the snow. It was a perfect example. One of them did what? He watched the tree. And the other one kept looking back, going, oh, am I straight? Am I straight? Guess what? He wasn't. The difference is where your eyes are set. See, the Apostle Paul says, if you want to achieve that perfection, where are your eyes set? Where are you? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on your career? Are you focusing on maybe your family? So, well, aren't those good things to focus on? Yeah, as long as Christ is at the center of them. You see, things have happened in our lives. Maybe bad things have happened in our lives. Maybe things that could cause you to just be angry. Can I help you tonight? Will you let me? That's the biggest part. I can try and help all day long, but if you don't want me to, then it's not going to do anything. I might as well just sit down and we can just go home. Because if you don't want to be helped, if you don't want Christ to be in your life, if you don't want to change, you won't. You won't. But here's the thing. See, Christ wants to help you. And those things that have hurt you in the past, stop looking back at them. Does the Apostle Paul say anything about looking backwards? He says no. Forgetting those things which are behind. What does that word forgetting mean? Letting go. Forgetting them. They're not even there anymore. They're gone. You see, if we were to forget the things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, if you're focused on reaching forth, grabbing these up here, I can't look at them. I can't focus on them. Because I'm too busy trying to go after the what's in front of me. And the moment that you take your hands down to try to stop grabbing what's out in front of you and look back and you keep moving forward. If I'm trying to look at this tree right here and I'm walking this way, what's about to happen? There's a step that I'm not looking at. That would have been funny, wouldn't it? If I would have just went off this step, I probably would have been interesting for myself. And y'all would have been like, this dude's nuts, okay? But if I'm looking back here and I'm about to walk off the step or maybe this one, that's a bigger one. You say, can you try that again? Maybe that'll be interesting. Hey, God gives you people to say, hey, wake up, turn around, you're looking at the wrong thing. There's an edge of the platform. You're about to walk off a cliff. That's your pastor. That's your family members that love you, that see you going down a path and you're looking back at what was, but you're still walking forward. Well, God tells me, I need to walk forward. I need to keep moving forward. Uh-huh. But he doesn't say you need to be looking back. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, I don't know anything that's happened here. I know what happened in my life. And there's been some things that have hurt within my church. They've hurt me. They've hurt people. And reading this passage, I had to just let God have it. Because I kept looking back and saying, if I would just would have done this different, or if I just would have handled this different, or if I would have said that, this wouldn't have happened. Or maybe if I just wouldn't, I shouldn't have let that person get to me that way. You know what? What I had to do, I had to forget those things which are behind. Because they were in the past. And I'm pretty sure, I'm from the States, but I'm pretty sure the States and in Canada, they're the same thing. You can't change the past. Am I wrong there? You can't change the past. Time is the one thing that we all have the same amount of. You can't go change that. So why are we looking at it? You say, well, I'm studying it so that I can do better next time. Okay, that's foolish. Because what you're studying, you're going to fall flat on your face because you're about to walk off a cliff. See, God says, no, no, no. I want you to look forward, forget those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. That word reaching, it's not just that you're going after it, you're trying to achieve it. You're not just walking out there going, yep, I'm looking towards the things in the front. No, it says I'm reaching for them. More than just trying to obtain them, you're trying to acquire what you're going after. It's more than just looking at it. You're taking an action and you're going after it and trying to get it. If you're reaching for it, you're not going to be looking back at what you were, what was, but you're going to look forward to what could be. You say, well, that's awesome. Well, look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, when we're pressing towards the mark of the prize, what's the prize? Heaven. Heaven. Righteousness. See, when we push towards that prize, perfection. How many of you know that if you aim at something, if you aim at nothing, that's exactly what you're going to hit? But what you're aiming at, you're probably not going to hit exactly what you're aiming at. As a pastor said this one time, a friend of mine, he said, aim for perfection, you will achieve excellence. Aim for perfection, you will achieve excellence. I don't know about you, but excellence is pretty good. But you're never going to hit exactly what you're aiming after. We're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. Can we all agree on that? Quick head nod, yes. We're not going to be perfect on this side of heaven. Yes, we understand that. But if I'm aiming for perfection, what am I going to hit? Excellence. Not for me. Not for the gain of Josh Henry. No, but for Christ. Because what am I going towards? I'm going after Him. I'm going to keep my eyes on Him, and I'm going to be focused on that. I'm going to reach forth unto the things which are before. I'm going to reach out and try and get to that perfection. We should always be striving for that perfection. We're never going to get there. We know that. But if I'm constantly thinking about that and working on that in my life and reading God's Word, I'm going to be striving for that. What is going to come out of it is going to be righteousness for Christ Jesus, not for myself. But He's going to get the glory in all things. The Apostle Paul says, no, no, listen, I haven't apprehended. I have not arrived. You ever met those people? I've arrived. If it wasn't for me, What? If it wasn't for you, what? It's just those type of people, they think that if it wasn't for them, the world would not continue to spin. I don't know about you, but God spins the world. Not you or me. God keeps this world spinning and this solar system doing everything that it's doing. If it wasn't for him, you and I wouldn't have the ability to take a breath. So, like I said before, come off that high horse. I got a little pony over here for you. It's going to be better. Because without God, we are nothing. See, we have to be pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. You know, that word perfect it doesn't necessarily mean perfect. It means, I didn't write this meaning down. Give me one second. It means to be finished, completeness. To have the completeness, we're not going to have that. We understand that. And what he's saying here, it's almost like he's being sarcastic, just a little bit. He's saying, hey, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If you are perfect, you should have the mind of Christ. Anybody in here have the mind of Christ? No, we need to be striving for that. We need to be aiming for that. But he says, if that's it, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. You see, in my life, personally, I want God to be able to show me the things that I need to change. If you are a child of God, if you're not, then that's another conversation we need to have. But if you're a child of God, you need to be constantly letting God perfect you, complete you in every area of our lives. You say, well, I'm pretty good in all of these areas, and you don't understand what I've gone through. I said, no, I don't understand what you've gone through. I don't know where you're at in your life. But what I do know is that Christ is in the business of healing people. Christ is in the business of perfecting people. And if you let him perfect you, it's kind of like when you put gold through the fires, all the imperfections rise up to the top, and you can easily skim them off the top and make that gold even more pure and clean. Each and every one of us need to be going through that perfecting process, through that purifying process. Every single day we need to let God purify us a little bit more and scrape off the gunk that comes up to the top. The problem that we have so many times that we're not willing to let that gunk go. We're not willing to say, you know what? I don't need that in my life. God, take it from me. I'll let it go. I don't want that. We're too busy looking back at what could have been or what should have been or what happened. And we're holding on to that bitterness. We're holding on to the grudges that we have, that of people that have come and gone. When Christ says, no, you need to let go of those things which are behind. Press on to those things which are before. Reach for them. Let me perfect you. Through my word, I will perfect you if you will let him. If you don't, he's saying, there's not a whole lot I can do for you. You have to be willing. Nobody's in the arm-twisting business around here. Is that right? Nobody's twisting any arms? Okay. Just want to make sure that's straight. Nobody's around here forcing anyone to do anything. It's called free will for a reason. You know, nobody is making this man and his family live here. No one is forcing them to be here. They are here because they want to be where God wants them to be, and that's here. Praise the Lord. This place needs this church. This whole area here is just full of darkness. And this right here is a beacon of hope and light. But when we're not willing to be conformed to the image of Christ because of what we're looking at behind us, we're not willing to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that light gets a little dimmer, because we get trapped in the circle, the endless circle of life that we never can come out of, because we're too busy turning around looking at what we could have been or looking at what happened, and we lose sight of Christ. We lose sight of who he is, of what he wants to do with our lives. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. It's amazing how God brings out the ones that are not like-minded. It's amazing how when we just let God do the work, how he shows the ones that are not like-minded. When he shows that there's opposition, he will show what that opposition is. Mark it down, he will. It's amazing how God will do what he's going to do to take care of his place. Because the attacks are strong on this place right here. And God says, I'm gonna do what I can. I'm gonna take care of my place, my church. But those around us that are not like-minded, God's gonna show them who they are. God will show you who they are. And if you're willing to let God show you what you need to change in your life, he will do it. But you have to first be pressing towards the mark and forget those things which are behind. And God will show you what you need to change in your life. God will show you how you can be closer to him. God will show you how you can live a life for him that brings him glory and honor beyond compare. But without it, without Christ, without looking towards that mark, without pressing towards that, just like in my races, if I'm looking at, when I'm running my that race, if I'm constantly looking back at like, oh, I can't believe I failed that obstacle. I should have been able to do that one. If I'm focusing on that, I'm not focusing on the next obstacle coming up in front of me. My coach used to tell me all the time in sports, play basketball, And all through sports, he told me this. He's like, the number one rule in sports is this: short-term memory. Short-term memory. You miss that shot, you miss that easy layup, forget about it. Because if you keep thinking about it, you're going to miss the next one, and you're going to miss the next one, you're going to miss the next one. Every single time. You say, well, that's easy to do in sports. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's hard, actually. You know, life is different. You know, the moment we get offended at something somebody says, you should not be focused on what they said, but you should be focused on why you were offended. Because if you're focusing on what they said, you're not worried about why you're reacting the way you're reacting to what they said. Come on, that's... If you're pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you're not focused on what they're saying. You're focused on what they're saying, but if it's hurtful, you're forgetting it because it's in the behind. If you're focused on what they're saying, you're going, ugh. Well, I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe they reacted that way. Why did they say such a thing? How could they say such a thing? I thought they were my friend. You're not pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're focusing on those things which are behind. Oh, well, you just don't understand. That really hurt me. Well, the only person that I really know understands that is God. And you say, God, that hurt me. Can you take this from me? Can you help me get through this? I promise he will. If you truly want him to take that burden from you, he will take it from you. He even says it. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy and light. I'll take yours. You just have to be willing to give it up. Isn't that the hardest part? Letting go of something that you're addicted to? Because it's an addiction. Oh, yeah. Dwelling on the past? That's an addiction. You say, well, I'm not addicted to anything. Huh. Sure about that? I think we all have some sort of addictions to something. I know that's not popular and that's not lovey-dovey, you know, warm and fuzzy feelings, but it's true. And when you're focusing on those things, you're not pressing towards the mark. You're not reaching forth which those things are before. True statement. And I'll be done in just a moment, I promise. True statement. You're never standing still. Stagnant doesn't exist in our lives. You are either doing one of two things. You are moving forward or you are moving backwards. You are never standing still. If you are standing still, mark it down, you're moving backwards. You say, well, I don't believe that. Okay, where were you a year ago? Is it the same place you're at right now? Probably not. Where were you mentally a year ago? Where were you with your walk with God a year ago? Are you closer to him? Or are you further away? Well, see, that's the thing. You're not sitting still. You're either moving forward or backwards. You know where I want to be going? Forward. You know where I find myself sometimes? Moving backwards. Well, I didn't mean to do that. You just kind of get into that little rut. But if you have the mind of Christ, and you're saying, you know, all of those things that I've done in my life, none of them matter. All of the accomplishments I've had, none of them matter. It's Christ. And if I'm focusing on him, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with this. This is sometimes very difficult to forget that which is behind. Forget all the things and just... Some of them hurt. But you know what? He's bigger than that. He can help me through it. Each and every one of them. You know, and the same God that I serve, the same God that you serve. And he can help you through each and every one of those. You say, well, I'm just mad. Don't be. He doesn't want you to be mad. Anger doesn't get you anywhere. Each and every one of us need to be pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we are, That means we'll be reaching forth, trying to obtain perfection. You say, well, that's a pointless effort because we're never going to get it. No, you're right. We won't. But I'd rather be excellent than mediocre. Mediocrity is a plague of our day. Yeah, I am what I am. I'm good with it. No, that's not good enough for Christ. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good. I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm okay. And that's mediocrity. And that's not what God says we need to be doing. We should be constantly being perfected by Him. I'm going to strive for perfection. And by His grace, I'm going to achieve excellence. Eventually. Still not there. Can you tell? We got a lot of work to do. But let's keep pressing towards that mark. Paul says that no matter the past, good or bad, I must look forward, look toward the cross, and press towards the mark. There's been things that have gone on, things that will happen. What we need to remember is that God should be our focus and watch Him. How do we be perfect in Christ? By pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. Stop focusing on those things which happened and press towards the mark. And let God change your life as He sees fit. Because that thing that you might be, maybe your mind isn't quite right on something, if you're pressing towards Him, He's going to show you how that thought process needs to change. Maybe that relationship that you have, he's going to show you, hey, I need you to change this relationship, or maybe cut that relationship off. It's not good for you. But if you're pressing towards the mark, you can't be looking back. You got to reach out to those things which are before and just keep on moving. I'll give you one last thing and I'm done. There's going to be opposition. When you reach out and you start making a change, a visible change in your life, there's going to be temptations to stray you off that course. There's going to be opposition saying, why would you do such a thing? You're crazy. Can I encourage you? Don't listen to them. Don't listen to the people that are all around you saying, you're nuts. Why would you go do such a thing? Why would you sell out for a God that you can't see? Don't listen to them. Keep doing what you know is right and follow God. Reach out for those things which are before, because He is worthy of our lives. He's worthy. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time. God, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truths that we find in it. Lord, I pray You'll just help us tonight. Help each and every one of us to focus, Lord, not what has happened in the past, but Lord, focus on who You are and where You want us to go in the future. Lord, help us to not dwell on what was, Lord, but what could be. Lord, and press towards the prize of the high calling of God. Lord, I pray You help us. Help us to be conformed into the image of Your Son. Lord, thank You for this word. Thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You so very much. Thank You for loving me. Lord, I love You so very much. In Your name, amen. Pastor.